I'm told the number one fear people have is speaking in public. It's the one fear I don't have. Join me for the Love Speak series, where we leave fear behind and we speak love. Loving our story, loving speaking, doing what we love, loving each other, and loving ourselves. Our stories are what connect us and make us better humans. So join me and my Love Speaks friends for some stories, some laughs, some inspiration, some speaker tips, and some unexpected truth. It's the Love Speaks series, where a little bit of love goes a long way.
Welcome to the Love Speaks series. Here's your host, Sally Lou Loveman.
Okay, I am so excited to be here today, the week of love, in the month of love. Love is speaking. My book, Speak, Love Your Story, Your Audience is Waiting, is out. And today I have the love of love of love of all people sitting in front of me, who I've been trying to get in the studio. She's way too busy for me because she is helping people find love. She's helped hundreds of thousands of people find love. So if you think that there's no one out there for you, think again. Because my guest will tell you otherwise, and she will change your mind. She's the mother of two. She is the CEO and founder of Smart Dating Academy. The Today Show calls her Cupid for Hire, and I call her my friend. There's no one I would rather speak to more than Bella Gandhi, as we all are taking in the week of Valentine's Day. Welcome, Bella!
I am so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
I wore my heart sweater, my signature heart sweater for you with the red hearts. And
lightning bolts. Tell people about the lightning bolts.
Tell me about lightning bolts. That's a great transition and question. When the lightning bolt happens to someone and they say, this is the person for me, how does that all happen? I mean, you are putting people together. That is your talent.
It is.
So how did you know you had that talent? Let's start with that.
So it dates back to my senior year of college, where I went to a fraternity party without my female best friend roommate, because I normally dragged her everywhere with me.
Right.
But she refused my antics this fine evening at 11 p.m. on a Wednesday night at the University of Illinois.
Right.
So I went out by myself, and she had not had a boyfriend in forever since I had known her.
Right.
And I went to this party and I looked at the sky and we were talking. And it was like in the movies where all of a sudden it was like
lightning bolt.
The audio bolt went down. Everything went down, down, down. And I snapped to attention and I said to him, you're going to marry my roommate.
Oh my.
And he looked at me and he's like, what did you say? And then I realized like the bananas words that had just rolled off my tongue. And I wish that there was an undo button.
And was there alcohol already?
There might have been. Okay. There might have been, you know, the social lubricant of college.
Right.
And I said, I meant, what I said is, I think you'd be perfect for my roommate.
Right.
And he's like, well, that's my girlfriend over there. And he points to this girl and I look at her, I size her up. I'm like, meh. Small problem. So it took me 3 years to get them to go out on a first date.
Did they meet?
Socially.
Yes.
Right? So they're like, whatever. So 3 years later, I'm like, all you guys need is one date, and I swear you will be in love forever. So they had their first date, unbeknownst to me, week before my wedding. And
wait, your wedding, like
my wedding.
Did you get married in college? I'm so confused by this timeline.
Okay, so now I'm flashing forward. This is how I think, you guys. It's just everything is on like super speed.
Bella and I both have admitted that we've lost our minds. So
we're on
3X
right now.
Hard time for Bella. This is her This is her Super Bowl, Valentine's Day.
Okay, go ahead. You got that right. So now it's 3 years after college.
Okay. So they never dated in college.
They never dated in college. Now I get engaged in 1996. My wedding's in 1997. So I'm on them. You guys, come on. You need to go out on a date. No. I'm too busy. I'm in med school. She was getting her MBA, whatever. So at my own wedding, I see the two of them, who I swore I was going to seat them at the same table together.
Right.
And I did.
Right.
But they're on the dance floor, slow dancing, not like, you know, hi, we're at the same table, like waltzing with your mother kind of dance. This was like,
it's almost like they already
This was like
knew
cheek
it.
To cheek.
Yeah.
This was like,
something
hi,
was happening.
This is my husband that I'm like stuck to, and it's my own wedding. And of course, the budding matchmaker runs off of the wedding table. I'm like, excuse me, what is this?
Tell me.
What is this? And they went out on their first date, Sunday, May 10th. They went out Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They got engaged 2.5 years later, and they were like, how did you know? And now by that time, because so much time had passed, I had matchmade more people and more people. And
on the side.
On the side.
The listeners need to know, this is just your side hustle.
I'm,
and you're not getting paid for it. You are doing it from the love of your heart.
From the love of my love, I'm in M&A. I come out of school with a finance degree. I have a German degree. I'm in management consulting. I do that for a year. Then my family had a business. My dad tells me, I paid for this useless German degree.
Something with Teflon.
Go start our Teflon-based company in Europe. So I jump out of M&A, went to go work for my family's business. Best decision ever, by the way. It was amazing. And then we ended up selling it 7 years later. And I stayed on with the company that bought us for 5 years, helping them grow their business. And then in 2006, I left there because I knew I wanted to help people find the lids to their pots. The love of their life. And you guys listening, if you think that love is not going to come to you because you've got all this baggage that you're carrying around in your head. I'm too old. I'm too fat. I'm too damaged. I'm too this. I'm too that. I am telling you, check that baggage at the door because there are many lids to your pot, not just one. Dating is needle in a haystack, but there's lots of pots in the haystack for you.
I love the metaphor, the lids and the pots and all of it.
Yes.
And they fit neatly together. And sometimes they don't and sometimes they do, but that's the journey.
Yes. And even if your pot is dinked up, or if the glass lid has a crack in it, we still keep them because we love them. It's okay.
Right. And your own lid, you might be the lid and that might have a crack. And that's okay, too, if you're a little cracked.
That is okay.
What I think is so cool about your story, because I know all about you and have come to know you. I think we've known each other like a year and a half now. And I'm so grateful to have met you. And I will talk about that.
Ditto.
You were in this Teflon business. There's a lot of chemistry, right? The science kind.
Yes.
But you used that talent of what you already had that you saw that you were doing in college and then after college. Now you've got a couple that you put together that got married. Maybe you have more friends that got married. I don't know.
More and more and more. More and more. Literally.
Okay.
Literally.
So you were doing it. And then you were like, you had the business part, obviously, with the M&A. And then you've got the chemistry part, the science of, when you put this together and this together, this happens. And then suddenly you're using all of that to start Smart Dating Academy. That, my friends, is Love Speaks. You are using your talent to benefit others. It is literally your job to do what you love.
I have goosebumps you said that.
Literally. This is why I was so attracted to you. And when we did meet at Carol Burnick Lavin's party for her beautiful book.
That's right. Gather like a year ago.
As You Go. Yes. Our friend Kathleen Henson invited, or our friend Kathleen Sarpy. Yes. And it was a room filled with women with powerful stories. And then we separated into different rooms for dinner. And you came up to me and you said, "Hi, Sally Lou." And I was like, first of all, I don't know anyone here. So thank you for welcoming me. And you said my full name, which is like, that never happens with new people. So I felt you were flexing your superpower, which is connection and making people feel at ease just with me. So you do it for couples, but you also do it for friendships and people in your life. So that is something that you do while you're working and while you're not working, which is why it's in your DNA and it's working.
Oh, so, I love people. I love helping people and I love love. And
you
are love.
You do.
You are love. And remember, our friend Danielle had told me about you.
Yes, Danielle Robay.
Yes, and that's how I knew. So there was a little cheat that I knew your name was Sally Lou.
That's okay. And she probably told you, don't call her Sally.
She didn't even tell me. She's like, oh my gosh, you have to meet one of my favorite women. And then as fate transpired that evening at Carol's, and you're standing in the same, like, fourth dining room of
Carol's there were many dining
amazing
rooms.
manse.
She was the CEO of Alberto Culver. So she's got many living rooms, and she's the most beautiful woman inside
amazing.
And out. And,
amazing.
Yeah, very, very, very wonderful human. And that is why we got to meet. I will say this. Danielle will be coming up on my Love Speak series podcast, and she's speaking purpose. And you are in my book. I don't know what page you are on at the moment because I don't have it in front of me. But you are the first of 10 women I write about.
Aww.
And it was an Instagram thing that we did where I challenged you to say, you know, how would you start your story in 10 words or less? Because our stories are what connect us, and they make us happier humans, and they make us better speakers, which is what this podcast is really about in my book. And you start your story. You already said it. You said it like 2 minutes ago. But the challenge is, if you're going to tell your story, how would you start your story? So tell the listeners how you start your story in 10 words or less, even though it's 11 words, but that's okay.
I love helping people find love. Like, that is
it. That's your juice.
That's my juice. That's my mantra. Yeah. I think to you, what you're doing is so amazing because you're right. Every person has a story.
Yeah.
Every single of the 7.5 billion people on this earth have a story. We've got some good. We've got some not so good stuff that has happened to us. It's part of the human condition.
Yeah, of course.
And just being interested in people and their stories and open-minded, you can grow from people. I find myself listening to people every day, whether it's the barista at Starbucks or a new friend that I meet at a dinner party. You learn so much from every single person that
Listen,
you meet.
Everyone's an audience and everyone has a story. And that is truly what we talk about here. And what is so cool is that when you think about it, dating and finding the right person is really storytelling, right? So that's what you're doing at Smart Dating Academy. Tell everybody what you offer, what you do, how you help people find love, because you build their stories, right?
Yeah. If you think about what's existed traditionally, you know, when you want help at finding love, there were traditional Yenta-style matchmakers years and years.
Right.
And in the Jewish culture, in the Indian culture, i.e. the two people sitting in this room, we're very, our cultures
I'm
are
not
matchmaking.
Jewish.
I thought you...
I know. My husband's Jewish.
Your husband, okay.
Yeah,
so,
but that's okay.
By marriage.
Yes.
But there are so many cultures that have matchmaking as part of their DNA.
Right.
And you could hire matchmakers and dating services. And what I saw when I first started the business, I thought I wanted to be a matchmaker. But what I saw, that was kind of giving people fish every day, right? You hear the old Confucius proverb, give a man to fish and he eats for a meal. Teach a man to fish and he eats for a lifetime.
Right.
And so I thought, well, gosh, if I give you a date a month as a matchmaking client, I'm handing you fish.
You're doing no work.
On a plate.
Yeah.
But if I teach you to be your own matchmaker, to teach you who's actually going to make you happy, stop doing the same insane dating that you've been doing, and teach you how to tell your story, both in online dating, in real life, on these dates, how to get people to set you up. Imagine, those are skills that you'll have for a lifetime.
Right.
So that's why we named the company Smart Dating Academy, is
so
because
smart.
We're teaching people how to pick partners that make them happy, and then how to present the best version, the most authentic version of yourself, so that you're getting the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth dates with the people you want.
Right.
So you've got options, people.
Right.
I want a dating funnel. I want you to date like a beast, okay? And I'm not saying you're shacking up with
dating,
these people.
Right.
We're not doing that kind of behavior.
Tinder.
No, we are old school, getting to know you. And how do you do that? And how do you have meaningful, fun conversations with people that get you that second date?
Right.
And then the third date. And when do you disclose parts of your story?
Right.
Is it right away?
Right.
Is it after the fifth date? So these are all the things we're in the weeds with people, helping them with on a date-by-date basis.
And do you have more female clients than male? Do you have male clients?
We have lots of male clients.
Okay,
so usually
cool.
we're pretty well split down the middle. Sometimes
it's
a little more female heavy sometimes, but it really depends because we're a coaching program. People roll in, people roll out. So the
How many weeks is the program?
We typically work with people anywhere from 3 months mm-hmm. to 12 months. That's our standard packaging, but some people stay on there like, I want you in my canoe until I'm at the altar.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And so your curriculum includes what? Like, obviously getting your photo right or photos right. I mean, I've seen you on GMA, on Good Morning America, on Today, on everywhere in the world, and you're telling people the number, like the top three things to do on your, if you're dating online. So is that part of your curriculum?
Oh yeah, we're hardcore. Yeah. Like I want your online dating and your photos and your profile. Think about this, you guys, as your personal marketing in cyberspace.
Exactly.
Right? It's got to be good. You wouldn't try to sell your house based on some janky iPhone photos that you took, right? You would hire photographer, stage your house and make it look like it's got some curb appeal.
Yeah.
So you got to think of yourself as the staged house.
Right.
When you're out there. So yes, we take
and
over.
And pare it down. Don't have all the shit in there. Like I heard
Declutter.
You on your Instagram, like, someone's hand in the picture and the, you know, it's just you.
It's just you and only you. Look, if you're selling a house, you're not going to put your neighbor's house in your photos. Okay, put some common sense to this.
Exactly.
It's you and only you, not
and
your
put
three
some lip
dogs.
Gloss on.
Put some red lipstick on.
Okay,
we can go there in a minute. But yeah, juice those lips up, guys. Zhuzh yourself up. Dress to impress.
Yeah.
And don't tell me, well, that's not how I look every day. I'm not concerned about how you look every day. I'm concerned about how you're presenting yourself on your date. And
right.
guess what? You got to zhuzh yourself up in your photos.
Right.
And then show up like that to the date because people want to date that person in the picture. So we do your photos for you since we have such strong, we clearly have a process to do this.
You have hair and makeup too,
we
right?
We have hair and makeup.
Yeah.
We do it all.
Yeah.
We're concierging you through this process and not because we're controlling, but because what we know works.
You know what it works.
We know what works.
Right.
We've been doing this for a decade. I started this business at the end of 2009. We have thousands
How has
of
it grown?
Anecdotal points. It's grown awesomely, so much fun. It's grown size-wise. You know, now it's great. I have a team. But what's also grown is what we're helping people to do because as the dating world evolves, we evolve. As we learn things anecdotally, being in the weeds with people and we start to see patterns, we have our own research.
So and what's we incorporate a pattern? Like, why is it so hard?
Oh,
I have two single daughters. So, I have a single son, but he's 20. But
and
so I don't
adorable.
Call him single. They're all fabulous. But like, why is it so hard when you are, living in a world that's so connected where you have, talk about your three lanes, like the three lanes, like you've got those three lanes and now that third lane, which is online, is you're so connected and yet it's still so hard. So what are the three lanes and why is it so hard?
So the three lanes like you're talking about are online dating is a great pipeline, right? Then meeting people IRL in real life is the other. And then the third one is getting set up with people. So those are the three pipelines that I would tell you will generate great candidates for you. So now if we go back to online dating and why it's so hard to your very insightful and your living it question with your kids, there's a couple different things. I think that kids in their 20s today, we've been, and I'm a mother of two teenagers, and we tell them focus on your career, get your career right, study, get a good job. And so the messaging that we're often not balancing with our kids is you can also find love at the same time. It's not an either or, right? You can do both. I say talk about an and, get your career set and find a partner, right? And so when they hear that from us, it becomes more of a focus for them. If not, I have so many kids, people walk in my door, I shouldn't say kids, that are 30, 40 years old and they tell me, my parents never told me anything about dating, about love or marriage, and they never even really, they kind of frowned upon it and said, you need to study hard, you need to have a good job, focus on your career first, and then you can worry about
that's
that
so
later.
Interesting.
Yeah, so the advice I would give you is, number one, if you're a parent, talk to your kids about this. Tell them it's an and. You can do both. Both at the same time, right? And I think that that's really important is kids don't know that they can do the and,
right?
And so, and then you put online dating into it where suddenly every person on earth, exists in their smartphone that's on an app.
Right.
And then they expect instant chemistry, instant gratification, instant lightning bolts, instant love. And when they're not feeling that, they're like, meh, I'm going to just see who else has swiped right on me.
You always think that there's so much out there that you always think you can do better.
It's the fallacy of abundance.
Yes.
Right? And so we feel like everybody's okay and we throw them back to the pond too quickly, where good love is usually a slow burn. It doesn't start out with a big thunk. Anything that thunks you over the head is going to knock you out.
Is going to kill you later.
Literally. Drag you through the coals.
Literally. And by the way, it's exactly what you just said about the couple that you set up in college or post-college. They didn't get a clunk over the head.
No.
How long have they been married?
20 years.
Isn't that awesome?
20 years. Three kids.
Oh, my God. Did they live name in any of their children Bella?
No, but they should
They should have.
They should have.
I mean, it's true. The big clunk over the head is not what's going to get you through life. I mean, you want to have a pitter-patter, clearly.
You want to have chemistry, right?
You want to have chemistry.
You will have chemistry, but it doesn't have to happen right away.
Right.
That is what I want to separate, the wheat from the chaff, the truth from the false, right? It doesn't have to hit you over the head immediately. Good chemistry can grow. Look, I was friends with my husband for six years before I thought, he's actually kind of cute.
Right.
And he's got all the characteristics on my list of people that make me happy. Yeah. And so this all dates back. Now I'm going back to college. I had a relationship that was super high, then super low, on again, off again.
Right.
Relationships that we've all had that
all
can make you and destroy you a week later.
Right.
And after my heart had been destroyed for the third time into 2 million pieces, I'm like, God, the common denominator in all of this is me.
Exactly.
So I can't cast the blame out because I'm the one.
You're in it.
I'm the one accepting this.
Right.
So what am I doing?
You
so I made
so
a
smart,
spreadsheet.
Even in college. You made a spreadsheet?
I made a spreadsheet.
Oh,
I know.
My God. You are M&A.
Dorky. Nerdy business kid makes a spreadsheet and says,
mergers and acquisitions. I mean, that is what matchmaking is. That's kind of cool.
I love that.
I never thought about that.
I love that. I did. Okay. I did mergers and I did chemicals and chemistry.
Yeah,
right?
You so did it all.
Now
you,
I'm just, this is the culmination.
Now you're just a Yenta.
It's the perfect storm. Do you guys hear this? This is why Sally Lou is a genius. If you haven't figured that out already.
Please. You're the smart dating academy. I just love when things, you know what? I love puzzles and I talk about that a lot. As a kid, I love when things fit neatly together. I was very good at puzzles. I don't have the time for them now. And seating the Oprah show audience was like a big, gigantic puzzle to me. All the little pieces and like an empty seat would make me crazy. But I love when stories fit together like that. Like you can piece it together like, oh my gosh, the chemistry and the mergers and the acquisitions. And of course you would start Smart Dating Academy. Why wouldn't you? It makes so much sense. And when you do what you love, you become so efficient because you're not wasting time thinking about all the other things you could be doing. You're doing exactly what you are meant to do because it's your talent and it's what you were, you know, it's your purpose, basically. It's what you were put on this planet to do. And then you have fun with it. And then you get the joy when you see all the wonderful results of your work, which is so cool. How many weddings have you been invited to?
I keep all the invitations. We don't go to
cute.
As many as we used to, but we are going to one in Spain.
Ooh,
this
well, I
July.
Would say yes to that.
And she met him on Match, believe it or not, here in Chicago.
Wow.
I know.
And you worked with her? So
I
that
worked with
she
her.
Was your client?
She
and
was
you
my client.
Helped her. Okay, so maybe you can't say her because you said Spain and maybe that would make sense
she
of who
would,
it was.
I can tell you who it is because she's her name's Lila.
Okay, so what was Lila doing wrong and what did she do right to find her man? Like just if you could think that through.
So I'm going to give you a little subtext to Lila before I answer that question. So Lila and I were both in a campaign for the limited stores.
Okay.
And it was called the New Look of Leadership. And they had 25 New York women and 25 Chicago women to be models for a season of clothing.
Right.
So you get to meet all these amazing women.
Cool.
And I was in a fitting room changing and Lila's next to me. She's like, what do you do for work? And I said, I'm a dating coach. We help people kind of fix their pickers. She's like, I need you. And when she came out of the fitting room, it's the most gorgeous girl you can imagine.
Oh, wait, was she like screaming over the wall?
She's screaming
like
over, you didn't even, what do you do for work? Yeah. Like, this is how she is. She doesn't care. She's like, I'm in IT sales. Right. I work for Google and Microsoft. I'm like, okay, that's cool. She's like, girl, I've been married. I love narcissists. I need out of this. Can you help me? And
she said, narcissist.
And then she says to me in her Lila way, you and I are going to have lunch next Tuesday, and I would like to learn more about what you do. And when Lila Jones says something, you listen.
You listen.
And so Lila and I had lunch a week later at Summer House, and she says, I am engaging you to help me with this process.
I love it.
And so we helped her with the process, helped her to understand.
Age range.
She was 34 at the time, and she was open to, you know, 32 to 44. And Lila loved bad guys. So we got that all fixed up. We put her through what's called our marriage map process, which is, you know, kind of based on my old spreadsheet that I made up when I was in college. And so we had this really good understanding of who her high GHQ guy is.
Oh,
GHQ. What does that mean? Is our trademark for good husband qualities.
Ooh, you trademarked
it? We trademarked it.
I
so
love
we've
that.
Got high GHQ. And so Lila knew exactly who she was looking for. And I tell her that love will come to you in an unexpected package.
Ooh, I love unexpected.
And so it's going to be a surprise. He's not going to be who you think. He's going to look different, be different. I don't know what that means. I know you're going to find him because there are many lids to your pot, and her pot's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And so she met a guy who is from Spain. She's a single mom of a girl. He's a single dad of a boy. And they met online. And so she says to him, you know, he said, would you like to have a coffee? And she said,
in Spain?
No, they were here in Chicago. That would have been awesome. They are getting married in Spain. And she said, yeah, I would love to have coffee. Would you like to hop on a call? Because I always tell you singles, after you're done swiping and messaging, take it to the phone, talk to someone so you can weed out any red flags or creeps and just avoid having a bad date.
Let's just say that is the single greatest recommendation advice that you could ever give, and people won't take because they don't want to talk on the phone. Nobody in their 20s talks on the phone, but it is the best way to, like you said, weed out the red flags.
We're
you know immediately.
Humans. Exactly. Talk to people. And not only do you get to weed out weirdos, but you also get to build a little chemistry with someone.
Yes.
You don't feel like you're meeting a stranger. I'm not saying you have to have an 8-hour, all night long, collegiate kind of conversation. You know, like, oh my God, we were up all night and I ate a whole bag of Doritos on the conversation. No.
Yeah.
15 minutes. Have a connection.
Yeah.
Be positive on the call. Bring your sunny self. Be interesting. Be interested.
Yeah.
Have a phone call. So she, now back to Lila.
Yes.
Lila said to him, can we have a phone conversation? And he said to her, he says, I'd be happy to have a conversation with you.
This is by text.
I'm from Spain.
Or whatever.
So I have an accent, but I promise you I'm much better in person. So they have this quick conversation. He's got this sexy, oh my God, what's the Javier Bardem kind of voice?
Yes.
And she's like, okay, sure, I'll have coffee with you. And he was amazing in person. And they are now getting married
in Spain. And you're going
in July,
to the wedding.
And I'm going to
is
the wedding.
Is your team going?
No.
Just you?
My family
your
team
husband?
Is going. My
your
husband
family.
And my kids are going.
I love it. I mean, that is truly, what an amazing story. I happen to have a friend who's 57, my age, who is twice divorced and just fell head over heels in love with someone. And I was just talking to her last night, giddy as all get out. He met her parents who are in their 90s. He went to meet her parents and they will get married. I already know it.
They met on,
I don't know what site, but they definitely met on a site. And she thought she was done, and she's not. And so there you go. How old is your youngest client and how old is your oldest client?
22, 78.
Oh my God, 78. I freaking love that. Now, are the 78-year-olds on dating sites?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh my gosh. I went to a store to try and dress a couple weeks ago, and the sales girl, who was so cute, she's like, oh my God, you're a dating coach? My 83-year-old aunt just met someone on J-Date. I'm like, of course she did.
Yeah, J-Date. I keep telling my girls, get on J-Date. My cousin's daughter found someone, her love of her life, on J-Date, and he's fabulous.
Yeah.
And they will also get married. I mean, it's just incredible. There are so many opportunities to find love, but it is the week of Valentine's Day, and sometimes that day is really hard for people. And I'll just talk, I'm leading to you, but the thing about my book, Speak, is it is about speaking your story. And it's also about speaking up, speaking on stages, but it's also about speaking kindly to yourself. Mm. And sometimes you have to do a lot of self-love on days like Valentine's Day, when you don't have someone bringing you flowers and chocolate and telling you that you're beautiful. And it's a hard day, you know, like any Hallmark holiday. New Year's Eve is hard. And so what would you tell the single people out there who, you know, February 14th is coming in a few days, what would you tell them? How can they be good to themselves on that day if they don't have love in their lives?
Celebrate yourself. Celebrate life. Celebrate with people that make you happy. Be around the people that elevate you, that make you feel like you're amazing, that you are... They just love you. They're your ride or dies.
Yeah.
Go out, have dinner, have right. some drinks, whatever your jam is. Go to a movie.
Right.
Celebrate yourselves.
Right.
Right. Valentine's Day is just a day.
Yeah, it's right? just a day.
It's a day to celebrate love.
Right.
Right. It doesn't have to be couple love.
It doesn't have to be couple love. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So you can be coupled to yourself.
Right.
Celebrate yourself
right.
on this Valentine's Day.
Okay. I love that. Do you ever give advice to your daughter? I mean, I don't know how old she is. Is she 12? Is she 15?
She'll be 16.
16. Do you ever give love advice to your daughter or your son?
All the time.
Like what?
Oh my gosh. My son came home with a love note from a girl and I said, and it was so crazy. I said, Max, this girl is going to grow up to be a crazy woman. And you can tell early.
You already knew
you
from
know,
her note.
Crazy comes out of the womb.
So of course it does. And
right.
and so you can tell your clients when they swipe on someone's
yeah, bananas.
So you know who is bananas crazy. And so you help your clients write things that are not bananas crazy, I would
exactly.
assume.
We help
right.
fix your picker.
Right.
right.
Fix your picker. I love that.
And so you might think, you know, I was just with the client before this who says, well, you know, I'm reading all these books and I think I'm going to fix my picker. I said, but that's the irony. You need someone walking along with you right then. It's like you can read all the books about avoiding alligators and swamps that you want, but until you're walking through there, and you better have a guide with you saying,
right.
that's not a rock.
That's an alligator.
Right. And so that's what we're doing with people. Know all you want, read all the books you want, do all the therapy you want.
Right.
Then you need someone who's in the weeds going, yeah, that's a really good person. And you need to go out on a date with them again.
Right.
I know
right.
you're not feeling the chemistry yet,
right.
but he meets all of your GHQ characteristics. He's got no red flags. You're going out on a third date. And
amazing.
That's where the love starts
right.
to boil.
Right. Right. I love that you were able to see the note that your son came home with. How old is he?
Now he's 11. This is when he was nine.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
You're like, all right, this we want to avoid. So it really, like you said, it comes out of the womb and it usually gets worse.
It gets worse.
Yeah.
I'm like,
so
yeah.
if the person is showing you red flags, it's not going to get better. I don't think it's going to change.
No. And people, listen, if you're listening to this and you're like, I don't know, crazy people can't keep the crazy in the closet for more than 10 minutes. If you pause to listen, to watch, to feel your gut, get over their hotness, get over their
yeah.
crazy success. Crazy cannot hide.
Crazy, literally, it can only hide for so long. It can hide and then it can't.
And
right?
then it just
right.
leaps
right.
onto
right.
you with its tentacles.
With its tentacles. What is the part about finding love that no one prepares you for, that you guys prepare people for? Like, what is it? I know it's a kind of an odd question. It's like, what are people that are looking for love not even prepared to discover when they find it?
They don't even know what they're looking for.
Right.
I want him to be tall. I want him to have a passport. I want him to be funny. Maybe he's, you know, a silver fox and he looks a little bit like George Clooney, but has
right.
a lumberjack side to him. And he plays tennis. This is what I hear every single freaking day.
And then they fall
day.
In love with someone that has none of those qualities.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, so what they've been doing prior to working with us is searching for exactly that.
And failing.
And it's like same characteristics. They're searching for the stuff that just doesn't matter.
Right.
And so
right.
what they're not prepared to understand is that's not the stuff that's going to form the glue of a happy partnership long term.
Yeah.
Right? So what is it that's going to make you happy? And that's what we really drill in with them. So they know the characteristics and the qualities that actually elevate them and make them happy. Then they can dip into, okay, and he's tall or maybe he doesn't play tennis. Maybe he loves the opera. I'm like, well, then have some tennis friends.
Exactly. Exactly. Get your tennis somewhere else.
Yes.
But you just said the word again, and it's that and thing. It's not, it doesn't have to be all. It's, oh, and you're this and you're that. Like, that's okay. It
that
doesn't have to be
okay.
The picture that you thought it was supposed to be. So what's exciting you right now? Like, how is love changing? How is Smart Dating Academy changing? Like, what's exciting you right now?
Man, there's so many great things. I think we've been growing and what we're doing now, and I think we're really wanting to do is be more accessible to people.
Okay,
we're doing a lot on Instagram.
Because it's not cheap. Let's talk about that.
No,
it's not
we're
cheap.
Expensive, right? We're a one-on-one concierge date coaching service. So we're
And you're not a matchmaking service. Let's get that straight.
We're not a matchmaking service. We're teaching you. We're like going to school. So imagine taking a college course.
Right.
That's where we roll.
Right.
But what we want to do is bring more love into the world and be more accessible to people. So I'm doing Instagram Lives where I'm answering people's live questions.
I love that. I've been
on
watching
a weekly basis, right? Putting out more tips and hacks and newsletters and doing webinars that are accessible. So really, my goal is, you know, hopefully when you begin with the end in mind, it's like, gosh, if I could leave the world a little bit better, it's a job well done.
Yeah. When are you writing your
a
book?
A little more love. Oh, man.
Come on. You've got such a good book in you. And think about that accessibility. I mean, come on.
Yeah. It's got to happen.
You know, it's like Rebecca Rosen, who's a medium. She wrote a book called Spirited. And she wants to teach people. She wants to teach people how to tap into their own way of connecting with loved ones who have passed. So It's like when you are an expert at something or you have a talent for something, you want to be able to teach people to do it themselves, just like I try to teach people how to speak on a stage with no fear.
And that's just amazing,
like, and
by
just
the
like,
way.
Well, and just like you would teach someone how to find a life partner without struggling so hard and being sad about it. Like, it's not that hard as we make it seem. So I hope that you will, in your free time, when you're not on television and you're not doing your webinars and you're not being a mom, because that, I hope you write a book. That's my next question. How do you turn it off when you're home? Like, how do you turn it off? Because people are probably constantly, your clients, like, you know, texting you on your site, whatever it is. How do you turn it off? Do you structure time for your family, or is it just always chaos?
It's fluid. It's just part of you. You know, when people say, how's your work-life balance? Look, life is a pie. Yeah. And when you work, have a business, have a husband, have kids, you can have it all. You can't just have it all the time.
Exactly.
And you always feel like a crazy person.
Right.
And so I'm pretty fluid. If my kids are doing their homework, I'll hop back on my computer. And they know mom's work is important. And they like what I do.
Of course. They must think it's so cool.
Which is amazing. But I have to bring this back to you for a second.
Oh, please.
What you're doing is, look, the number one fears of most of humanity, more than death, is speaking on a stage.
That's
true. Is speaking in public.
Yeah.
And I know this. I don't share this story often, but I had a huge phobia, panic attack style, of speaking in public. I come from the manufacturing world. I drove forklifts. I loaded pallets. Like, I know how to use heavy machinery and ran an R&D lab.
Well, you also, good for you, because you can do that, which no one can do, most people. And you are phenomenal in real life, IRL, and on television, and on a stage.
That came.
So how'd that happen?
It came with
I know
a
how
lot
it happened.
Of practice.
I already know how it happened. You know how it happened?
How did
I'm
going
to tell you.
You tell me how it happened, because maybe you can make more sense of it than I can.
You found your purpose.
Hmm.
When you are in your purpose, fear has no access.
Wow.
And so when you are talking loving love and helping people find love, You have no fear. You don't even think about the audience. You don't even think about the millions of people watching you on Today and Good Morning America. You don't think about it because you're in your purpose. It flows. That's it.
And what you're doing, I think, in teaching people to speak like that is something I wish you were around 10 years ago when I started this and had these opportunities that made me vomit.
It is all happening the way it should.
And I would literally almost throw up.
I actually understand it now because I didn't get it. I am scared of everything else. Boats, planes, trains, bridges, self-parked parking lots. I'm terrified of most everything else. I'm just not afraid of speaking in public. I'm also not afraid of the dentist because I'm there all the time. But I am not afraid of speaking in public. However, I just did something last year to push myself, and that was stand-up comedy. And
amazing.
I've never felt more terrified in my life. So now I actually do understand what it feels like to be afraid. And that's actually a very good thing for someone who is doing what I do, teaching and helping others, because now I'm completely empathetic. I get it. I totally get it.
You know what that feels like. You know the grip that happens in your throat. You know that heart thumping that takes over your brain.
Totally.
Where it's like, boom, boom. And it drowns out your thoughts.
And it's like the very thing you depend on to be a good speaker, which is your heart and speaking from your heart, completely and totally is beating so loud that you can't think.
Yeah.
So that is a huge thing that I talk about how to remove that and, you know, be able to get on there without that beating heart. And there are so many ways that, you know, people can do that, but that's not this podcast. And I talk about it a lot on this. So anyway, I think what's really cool is I am so attracted to women who are doing their own thing. And that is what you're doing. It is what I'm doing. It is what most women and men that I talk to on this podcast, it's what we're doing. For me, I had a huge career with Oprah. I have had really wonderful highs on my Love Speaks platform, but I've also had a tremendous amount of no's. You asked me, why aren't you on the Oprah tour? I wasn't asked. I tried. I pitched. I did this. I would love to be there to see that audience dancing without me. I'm like, why? I'm so proud of my friends that are there, particularly Charvo. Way to go, Charvo. Shout out to Charvo. I'm so proud of her because she's doing exactly what she should be doing. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is to say sometimes if you are told no, and I've been told no on a television show I tried to get on to be the audience producer. I've been told no so many times. You have to create your own content. And for me, that's what I'm doing. I'm creating my own content because I know I can do it. I know it feels natural to me, just like it feels natural to you to put two people together that should be together. So I love that you all of a sudden one day said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not traveling to Europe and doing this Teflon thing and doing the chemistry thing. And I'm doing this. I have another friend who's going to be on this podcast, Val Haller, who one day at 50 years old, she'd been putting playlists together her whole life, mixtapes, right?
I love that.
And then as soon as iTunes came, Val's List. Yes.
It's Val's List.
Do you know Val Haller?
I know Val's List.
Well, Val Haller is a friend of mine.
Stop.
Yes. And she said something that was so interesting to me. When iTunes came out, our generation, you're younger than me, but mine and Val, she's a little older than me and I'm 57, we're whatever. We stopped listening to music because we didn't know how to access it because we couldn't technically get it, right? Because now it's on iTunes. How do you do that? Where's my cassette player? That's how I know how to play. So she was like, she came downstairs to her boys and her husband. She's like, oh my God, I'm going to make new music accessible to busy adults who can't figure it out. And that's what her business is. So you had that aha moment, I'll take that from Oprah, about Smart Dating Academy. I had my own aha moment, like I'm going to just write my book and have a podcast. So where does that come from? Does it come from how you were raised? Does it come from just your bootstrap way of living? Like where does that come from for you?
For me, guess what? It's like you. It came from a no.
Oh, I love it. Okay, tell me everything.
I come from an entrepreneurial background,
yes.
And I think that's what taught me, like, you need to go cut your teeth and learn how to do this. So I had run a big company. I had a pretty, you know, by most measures, a pretty good looking resume.
Yeah.
Had done a lot, closed a lot of deals in my early 30s. And I saw a job posting at a dating service called It's Just Lunch. Yeah. And I hadn't made a resume in a decade. Right. And I made a resume and I'm assertive. And instead of sending it in, I dressed up. I had my Sunday best on, my little briefcase.
Just like you tell your clients.
Just like I tell my clients. I showed up. I had my resume. I had all this print collateral. My personal marketing was amazing. I couldn't get past the door. They were in the Maggiano's building downtown in Chicago, and there was some 22-year-olds like, thanks so much. I said, is there someone here I could speak with? This is how I had gotten every one of my jobs from the time I was 14 years old. Like,
and
can
nobody,
I see the manager?
And nobody and everybody can get came jobs out. That way now. It's so sad.
And somebody always came out and said, okay, who are you?
That doesn't happen anymore.
And she said, well, no, I'm sorry. Just, you know, we'll be in touch if we're interested. And I turned around. And I thought, what just happened?
Yeah.
And so I waited and I waited.
Right.
And I called and I sent another resume in through
the regular channels.
Indeed or About or whatever the heck the job was posted on. I heard nothing.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, geez, maybe I'm not supposed to do this. Maybe this is the universe's way of telling me, go back into manufacturing.
No.
And then I thought,
maybe
you know
I'll do it my way.
Here's my story of failure versus regret. If I don't do this now because I'm scared of it, I'll regret it forever for not having the courage to dare and do it.
Right.
Regret sucks.
Totally.
Like, coulda, woulda, shoulda.
It eats you up.
No. Yeah. And so I thought about being the 95-year-old woman sitting in a rocking chair, pouring my kids Country Time lemonade, telling them the story of failure versus regret. I'm like, well, shit, failure is a way better story than
way
regret.
Way better.
And
I love
failure. And so I thought, well, if there isn't a company that's going to hire me, I guess I'm going to have to do it myself.
I literally
and
am
that's
picturing
it.
Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman telling the women at the, you know, couture store, big mistake.
Big mistake.
It's like, it's just lunch, just missed out on a massive person that could have taken their, I don't even know if It's Just Lunch still exists, but let me just tell you this, they made a mistake. And how cool is it that you created your own content? You just realized, they're going to say no. This 22-year-old person who knows nothing about me is going to tell me no. I'm going to tell me yes. That's what you did.
And ironically, someone that was in that office now works for me as my head dating coach and said they would have loved you, but you would have withered in a second there.
Yeah.
She said, Bella, this is the
you
way
to do your own.
Things you heard no for a reason.
Totally.
And that is why we are here today is what she told me.
Totally. I mean, goosebumps from everywhere right now. And when I didn't get the Tamron Hall show, and my daughter did, which again, not the same job. We just were applying to the same show. And she's like, Mom, you know you didn't get it for a reason. And I'm like, well, what's the reason? I'm her mother. I'm supposed to tell her the stuff. And she's telling me. And I'm like, I know the reason now. I couldn't be doing what I'm doing right here. I couldn't be launching my book. I know I'm too old to be in the studio every day. Like, I love to be there.
You've done that, Sally
Lou. I've done
it. You've done that. This is you now.
I'm done.
This is purpose for you.
It's my purpose.
That was your no, which turned into your big fat yes.
Yeah.
And you're sitting here with me with your hearts and your lightning bolts on and your cute as hell glasses.
In my sweater.
And this is what you're supposed to be doing is helping people build their confidence to do that thing that we're all so afraid, including me, to do. And that's to speak and to tell your story.
Yeah.
And it comes out of rejection.
Yeah.
It's fear of rejection.
Beautiful. Everybody listening, whatever your no is that's happening right in this moment, it is such a gift and it is hard and it's coming. Just know that the gift is on its way.
Absolutely.
As we wrap up, tell everybody listening what, I know we said it earlier, but I just want you to give your Bella tidbits on your go-to Bella love best love tips on how to find love and what to do right.
All of the success that you're going to have in the dating process, I mean, in every process in your life, take heed of this phrase. I want you to become a psychotic optimist.
Yeah.
Do you know what psychotic optimism is? It is optimism in the face of rejection, abandonment, fear, anxiety. It means in the dating process, you believe with all of your heart and your soul that love will come to me. It's a when, not an if.
Right. Change the language.
Change the language. It's not, well, are there enough people that are in my age group? Will they love me? Am I too fat? Am I too... Garbage. Nonsense. Look around right. you. Is right. every person in a relationship hot?
No.
Okay, no. They're a bunch of mere mortals. Okay,
right. We're humans.
Love will come to you. You are lovable exactly as you are.
And change your energy too, I think. Like, I think energy mm-hmm. has so much to do with it. I think we block blessings and love if we think we're not going to find it. And that energy, people can sense.
And that's why you're going to become a psychotic optimist, to your
right.
point.
Exactly.
That when you are an optimist and you believe that good will happen to you, love will happen to you no matter what, good starts to happen. Guys,
exactly.
it's freaking magic. When
it
you
is the
believe,
rules of the universe.
When
right?
you approach a date thinking, love is going to come to me, and my purpose of this date is just to have fun and to meet another human being
right.
and to have a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and share stories and then move on.
Right.
It's not, is this my husband? Is this
right.
my wife?
No.
Are they lying in their online profile? No.
Right.
Meet a human, people. Make
right.
a friend.
Right.
That is all you have to do. Right. And then you stay the course of this. Dating is a marathon. It is not a sprint.
And to your point exactly, which is what I was just about to say before you said that, and now you said that, and here I go. Momentum, right? Just like speaking, no matter where you are, speak to your barista, like you said, speak to your children, speak to your team at work, speak to your family. That builds momentum so that you can be a better speaker in the office, on a stage, wherever you are. And that's just like dating. If you don't have one date, you will not have others. You have to start. Just have one date that leads to another date, maybe with another person, maybe with the same person. But it's about building momentum. You got to get out there. You
pedal the bike.
Pedal the bike. Run the marathon. Add miles to your runs. Okay.
Absolutely.
How many metaphors can we talk about?
I mean, I'm like, you're right, hashtag metaphor, right?
Jeremy, I want to say a shout out to Jeremy, my engineer here at Mystery Street Recording Company, who we've been talking about, how am I getting this podcast out there? How is it going to look? He goes, well, it's like a fruit salad. I'm just making the fruit salad part and then the rest of it will happen. And I'm like, so now all we talk about is in metaphor. I'm like, how's the fruit salad going?
Fruit salad, yummy,
fruit salad.
Yummy. Did
yummy,
you ever watch,
yummy.
Remember the Wiggles?
Of course.
Of course.
Of course. What's your favorite love song?
L is for the way you look at me. Oh, is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore. And love is all that I can give to Sally Lou Loveman.
I messed up on the E. That's fun. Okay, that was a fun Valentine's Day kind of DIY.
Jam
solo
session.
Duet.
There's been
duet.
A lot of dish that came out. You guys know more about me than most people
do
at this
do.
Point.
I love that.
And you heard me sing. Good Lord.
Exactly. If you weren't a matchmaker, what would you be? You're not a matchmaker. That's a stupid question. If you weren't a smart dating coach, what would you be?
Oh, gosh.
You've already.
I'd probably be running a nonprofit.
Yeah.
Helping refugees.
Yeah.
You know,
find
helping,
love.
Find love. Yeah.
Yeah.
Reuniting families,
right, exactly.
doing things.
You
yeah.
like the reuniting. You like the uniting. You like the mergers and acquisitions.
One of my favorite places on earth, which this is why I love the movie Love Actually so much, is the arrivals terminal at any airport.
Oh, so good.
Right? I mean, I love the
arrivals
reunions.
Too.
The flowers, the signs, the
it's
tears.
It's the best.
It's
so great. It's so
amazing.
True. Love Actually, I will tell you, I did a lot of work for United Airlines for a little bit, and I literally told the CEO at the time that I want to be the person that just walks down the concourse at United and goes to every gate, and I would have my list of like who's flying for the first time, who's come back to the airline, who's going for a loss, like they're sad or a wedding or excitement. And I would just go to each gate and just engage and do my Sally Lou Loveman warm up, Oprah warm up for the airline and make everybody happy.
Idea.
It's like I want to be their chief caring officer. Like I see everything as a venue, and I hate to fly, but I love the airport and I love O'Hare. So I get that. And I do. I love I love watching people reunite.
You should pitch that to Southwest. They're the love airline.
I know. It's true.
I love that.
It's true. Okay. So that's your favorite love movie. What word do you love the most? What word do you use all the time? Besides love, you can't say love. Love is obviously a word that you love.
I love the word lovely. And I love the word wonderful.
Okay. Wonderful. Yeah. What's the season that you love the most?
Summer. Hot,
sweaty love.
Sunny. Walk outside. Sundresses. The lake. Sandals.
Yes.
Man, I can taste
yes,
it.
Yes, I know. It's good. It's coming. What TV series do you love the most?
I'm watching Succession.
Oh.
As a family business person, that show is berserk.
Well, I mean, yeah, Golden Globes and all that. So, yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Amazing. It's so good.
You probably can't answer this, but I'm going to ask, and we'll just see if you can answer it. Favorite dating app? Can you? Are you allowed?
I'm agnostic. I'm okay. A free agent.
You are a free agent.
There's so many of them, but I'll tell you
where
which
do people
one
seem
I
to
love.
Find the most success.
I like Bumble.
Bumble.
I like
okay,
Bumble
why?
Because it was founded to empower females in the dating world.
Right.
So Bumble's founder was a woman who was kind of, whatevered out of Tinder because she was one of the co-founders. And she said, I want women to feel like they're in control of who's messaging them. So she made the app such that women had to instigate the messages. So she made it okay for women to get off the sidelines, to get out of the passenger seat of the car and get into the driver's seat and say, hey, dude. How are you? And you get to pick.
How's your Monday?
Before, we always felt like we had to be picked, right, as the girl.
I love that.
Now you get to be the picker. So I love the foundational philosophy behind Bumble.
Yeah, and I love the whole picker idea and putting it in. You use that word a lot. I feel like that could be one of your favorite words, picker. I'm the picker. And yes, giving it to women and saying you're in charge. You're in charge of your life.
You're in charge
of your love life.
And for guys, it gives them a reprieve.
Yeah, it gives them a little time.
We work with guys.
Off.
I'm like, listen, if a girl, woman emails you or texts you, that's a super warm lead. Guys, love it. You know why? Because it takes the pressure off of them.
Right.
They've been pressured for the last millennia or five to be the hunters, to be the aggressors. And they hear no more times than women ever do.
Right.
And so for them to have that break, to have a woman say, hey.
It's nice.
Oh my gosh. It's breathtaking.
It's unexpected
for them.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Lovely.
It's lovely. And it's wonderful. I hope you can answer this. This is kind of a hard question. I'm just thinking of it. So if you can't, we'll move on and we're about to say goodbye. But there's like a whole like thing that people say when they're reaching out to people online. And like a friend of mine, my friend's daughter says like her key thing is if she's flirting with someone online or setting up a date, like on Monday, she'll say like, she'll just like send a text like, well, we survived Monday, like something cute. Is there something that your clients have done that you think is a great line that you can share with others that you can use in the dating world? Or is there one that you should never do? Do you know what I'm saying?
I just did this one for Good Morning America a couple of days ago.
And I saw it, but I didn't see this part. Okay.
So it's two truths and a lie.
Right.
So if you two truths and a lie in a message, it's hilarious. So two truths about yourself and one lie.
Oh, that's
and
cute.
Then the person has to guess which one is the lie.
Cute.
And
that's
then
a
they
great
do it
way.
Back to you. And it's just a fun way to engage. That game usually results in nothing good with people you know.
Right.
Right? Because we go down those
There's
old
too
dark
much baggage.
Alleys. But here in Two Truths and a Lie, you can just be fun and light and airy.
And it's curious.
And
I
it
love
just
that.
Changes things up a little bit than, hi, what do you do? Right. I do this. I'm a banker. What do you do?
Right.
It's just fun. Okay. Or you can start out with something like, you know, peanut butter, smooth or crunchy.
Right.
Pizza,
right,
deep right. dish or thin crust.
Right.
Right. Just engage people.
I love that.
People want to be entertained.
Yes. People want to be entertained. That is the key. Okay. I love that. All right. So we're going to say goodbye, but is there anything that you want to pitch right now that's something new, something interesting? Where do we go? Smart. Give us your website.
SmartDatingAcademy.com. Follow us on Instagram at SmartDatingAcademy. And within the first or second quarter, we'll also have a podcast called The Psychotic Optimist.
Oh, there you go. You slipped that one in.
So you'll be on it.
Yeah, you slipped that in. I love that. Is it going to be you and someone else, or is it just you?
It's going to be me with various people.
Okay.
Whoever floats yes. my boat.
And just like mine. Okay. And I cannot wait for your book. I'm going to think of the title. You know, Psychotic Optimist is wonderful too, because that's who you are. You are an optimist. You made me feel so, just so welcomed and at home when you first your eyes first landed on mine and your heart. I felt immediately, as I said, in my book, I wrote that you were flexing your talent, and everybody listening, whatever your talent is, flex it because it benefits others. It is a disservice for you to not use your talent and show your talent off because others are wanting to have it. So thank you for flexing your muscles and saying my name and letting me sit next to you. And now here you are. At my podcast, and I have a feeling I'm going to be seeing a lot more of you in the future. And
we better.
Thank you for giving so many tips today to people who are just trying to find love. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's
Thanks,
Day
Bella.
To you and to everybody listening. Love yourself.
Love yourself, because you can't love anyone else or expect anyone to love you
and we love
if it
you.
Doesn't start at home. So love
and
yourself.
We love you.
We love you. We love you. Your love speaks. Thank yes. you, everybody. I have loved speaking with you today, and I want to speak with you more. So follow me on all of my social platforms at Live Love Speaks on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you want more stories like the stories we speak here on the Love Speaks series podcast, go to lovespeaks.com and pick up a copy of my new book, Speak. Love your story, your audience is waiting to step up your speaking game and your human game. Check out my blog while you're there.
Sally Lou Loveman is a mom, speaker, author, former audience producer for The Oprah Winfrey Show, and founder of Love Speaks. Each week, Sally Lou and her crew have a conversation about how love speaks in their lives and how it can speak in yours. From kindness to composting, no topic is off limits. If you need a community to kickstart your heart, you need the Love Speaks series.
Thanks for listening. Your love speaks.